Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Here we are, 93.3 FM in Tallahassee. We have Barbara Westcott with us today talking about Point Catcher, cool little application that she's developed. We're going to find out about that. Hemal Patel will be with us, KB Studio. He's talking about internet and web development. So much going on. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with the beautiful custom shower enclosure from Widen Glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Widen Glass today, 222-5781. Or chat online with one of their service professionals at widenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Widen, the best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Going green just got easier with high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty, owner of Truck and Car Concepts. We have over 18 years' experience. Our sun control films eliminate 79% of the heat gains and 99.9% of the UV rays to prevent fading.
Use less energy and save money with professionally installed high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800.
So here we are again, friends, another Saturday in the month of September, and we are talking about what? Internet, web development, web marketing, the influence of the World Wide Web, not only in business, but in our everyday lives. You can't be functioning right now and not know how much the internet has changed everything. And probably even more so, what is remarkable is the pace at which, the rate at which this change is occurring. So, you know, 150 years ago, let's say, the early 20th century, early 1900s, and you had the advance of something called the Ford Motor Company, right? Or any of those technologies related to communication, telephones themselves, telephone systems, AT&T and such. But look at the amount of time involved, right, with the advancement of those arguably revolutionary technologies changed not only our own society and culture, but worldwide. Space technologies, right? The advancements that have occurred in the last 10 years are staggering. It takes somebody like Simon Anderson, who is, you know, is a good friend of the show. And by the way, one of our contributors, we're pleased to announce that Simon Anderson will be providing us a regular installment from his mindful point of view. He will be bringing us updates on a regular basis. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention for that. Simon Anderson, a futurist, an author. When you have those conversations with a guy like Simon Anderson, it's clear that there is so much happening simultaneously and interactively that there's a kind of critical mass or a synergism, I guess you'd better said, that's occurring because you have technologies inventing technologies and processes that now that are benefiting other processes. That's sort of the theme today for this show, and that's why we asked Hemal Patel to join us. He'll be with us here in the first hour for his own part. A fellow who grew up in the Boston area, if I recall, and he'll talk about his beginnings. But self-taught. He's a guy who had a background academically. He was trained in business and finance and then began to explore, like so many self-taught individuals, the world of the web and computers. And now he has a company called KB Studio. He's done work for a number of prominent companies around the Tallahassee area, continues to do so. Really a nice guy, and I like him, and you will too. And he's kind enough to help us all who are not geeky understand some of the terminology, but better understand the significance of what's going on in the web world. And we're going to try to keep you better informed, keep us abreast of those changes. Well, that's the theme for today's show. And I mentioned also earlier, I mentioned that Barbara Westcott will join us in the second hour. She's got an example of this, Point Catcher, which is a rewards network for those businesses that want to cash in on the advantages of having a customer rewards program that they don't have to build from the ground up. They don't have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. They can plug into this Point Catcher program, and now they're able to provide the same kinds of rewards in the form of points for those folks that are doing business on a credit card, right? So they're paying, you're paying your shop there that you bought from for some service or product with your credit card, and because the business is registered with Point Catcher, her program, those points are then stored and are then available to you to use at that same business for additional purchases in the future. So you get credits. What a concept. And it's remarkably low priced. So even a small business or a startup business can afford to be a part of this thing and immediately begin offering rewards to their customers. And all of that has happened right here in Tallahassee. And she'll have her story to share with us as to how that idea was birthed and how she was aided by those resources available to us in Tallahassee. We're going to talk with her at length in the second hour. I should point out that we did have some news of the day going through the week. Of course, on Thursday, the remembrance of 9/11. Remarkably, not a whole lot said in the local press about it. There were more national observances, and of course, those observances that occurred in Washington, D.C., at our nation's capital, and in New York. But no doubt about the fact that it affected every single one of us. And there are people here in town that you would probably know or meet, or maybe you're one of them, that had people who were lost on 9/11. Or people who were there on 9/11. For my part, we had been planning for months a road trip with my entire family. We had the motorhome ready to go, and we were supposed to leave the morning of 9/11. Wow. And we delayed by one day just to make sure we could do this. And so we hit the road. And by that Thursday, we were in Washington, D.C., while both houses of Congress were in joint session to vote on then the funding for a response from the United States government, a military response. The city was in lockdown, and there were armed marshals everywhere you looked, and state police, and we were kindly asked to leave the premises and given very clear instructions from a very nice secret, was he state police? I think it was state police, as to how to leave town now. It was an eerie sight, and everything was just frozen there. That was all these many years ago, 13 years ago, and here we are remembering again this week those events as our nation once again faces the threat of terrorism. So we've heard from our president this week as to what our response should be and will be with ISIS and its continuing threat to American security and both here and abroad. In the local scene, we've had some rather disturbing news related to Willie Meggs. He's been in the news, and he talked about this in regard to his daughter, who's a Leon County Sheriff's officer, who was assaulted and is recovering now, but they caught the guy who did it. If you haven't checked that story out, you ought to. And he's had some things to say about the Gadsden County Sheriff over there for having let some inmates out who he thinks should not have been let out without supervision. So Mr. Meggs is in the news this week as well. We're going to keep going here. We've got some great people to talk to, and we're so glad that you're a part of it. Remember that we're here because we have some great sponsors like A Country Rose Florist, where you can get the very finest in floral design. Find them online at acountryroseflorist.com. We'll be right back.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom shower enclosure from Witten Glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up. With style. Call Witten Glass today, 222-5781, or chat online with one of their service professionals at wittenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Witten. The best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have in studio a young man who, for his many years of web development, web design, internet marketing, has contributed to the livelihoods of a number of businesses here in the Tallahassee area, and has, because of the nature of the business, been able to participate on that world stage we call the World Wide Web. And so we have in studio this morning Hemal Patel. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
You know, for a guy on the radio, you look pretty sharp.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you dressed. You look nice.
Thank you.
Good. Well, hopefully we're going to learn in this next few minutes with Hemal a little bit more about, you know, what is going on in the world of web development and web marketing. You know, Hemal, when I think about it here, I started the company in 92, okay. Right? So my first computer was a 486 PC.
Wow.
And knew nothing right. about even, you know, how computers worked or right. Lord help me, you know. And so until, of course, the hard drive crashed.
Right.
And then I got a, sorry the pun, crash course in how to replace the hard drive.
Absolutely.
Had a good friend then and now, Dwayne Thurman, who took pity on me. I mean, no exaggeration here. He actually took that hard drive and tried to recover and got most of it, about 90% of the data on that hard drive.
Right.
That was very impressive to me. I thought that's a very cool thing. And it opened me up to the idea that not only were we looking at technology that was making it easier for us to do business,
right.
Because my goodness, that little 486 and a microphone got me a lot of business.
It's crazy thinking about how small technology we had back then and how much we could do with it still.
In spite of that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that hard drive held something like 250 meg.
Right.
And I thought, there's no way I'll ever fill that up.
Right.
How in the world? And now that we're into terabytes.
Terabytes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. From your standpoint, you started KB Studio.
Yes.
How long ago?
July 2008, so it's going to be just over 6 years and 2 months.
Years.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 6 years,
yes,
we've been moving at light speed, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I first started, you know, I heard Simon's talk with you and
Simon Anderson.
Yeah. Anderson, yeah. And smartphones were just becoming the fad back then, and now it's pretty much a necessity. So that ties into what I do because of responsive designs. You have to make websites that actually respond to the different mediums like tablets and the different size smartphones and even computers. People have 19-inch laptops or 32-inch desktops. So you have to kind of make websites that accommodate all the different sizes.
Do you find, and Simon has made this point, others have too,
right,
a disparity between those who are aware of such things and then the rest of us who are still thinking, well, you know, I built my website 10 years ago and why would I have to make any changes?
You can definitely make do. The website is more of, you know, selling what you have to provide, whether it's a service or a product. In the end, it's you, your personality that will, you know, bring in that client. So if somebody goes to your website and it's 5 to 10 years old, maybe they're accustomed to looking at a website like that.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, when I started making websites, it was all about making something very nice, because that's what I thought would, you know, my clients would want. Over the years, I've matured and realized it's not really about what looks amazing. It's more about who's your target audience and what are they comfortable with.
Yeah.
So if you're trying
to
sell...
And as you say, the particular device that this website's going to show up
Absolutely.
On, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there you go with people saying, well, hey, you know, I built my website. Why do I have to fuss with that? Yeah, well, it's even 5 years ago, Simon Anderson would be saying... Hey, but how does that site look on a smartphone right now?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work very well, does it?
Right.
So then what do? I have to go back in and rebuild the site?
So there are two ways that I've worked on websites before. They're called adaptive design and responsive design.
Mm.
Adaptive design is basically making a completely separate website compared to your desktop version. And you've seen these before. These were the first starters where they have, let's say if you go to AT&T.com, you would see m.AT&T.com.
Right.
The M stood for mobile.
Mobile, right.
So basically they would make a completely different website. I think that's a terrible idea because you have to do double the work.
No
if you
doubt.
Make a change on your website, you have to go back to the mobile version. What I do nowadays is what's called responsive design. You're using media queries in CSS to add exceptions. So you can make a big section in your CSS file and say, let's say this person is coming from a screen size that's 400 pixels and less, which is, you know, Apples and iPhones and any other phones. Set up these circumstances for that phone. So everything looks smaller. Everything is maybe stacked above each other instead of being side by side on a desktop. So you make up exceptions for everything that's already on the website.
Okay.
So you don't really have to redesign everything.
And for those of you who got lost at the word pixel.
Pixels.
Just keep in mind that it's my job to try to navigate us through this next several minutes of techno jargon. No, you continue. That's your job.
I live in the pixel
rest
world.
The rest of us will try to figure this out. So if I might say for some of us who are still trying to figure out what CSS is, the reality is, as you say, that you can, because of the new standards, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can create websites or even modify websites that you don't have to do a complete rebuild, nor do you have to do a duplication to work in these different environments.
No.
Okay.
And I have a funny analogy. I always give analogies, because I do have... You and I could speak geek talk all we want.
Well, you can, yes. I will nod and smile politely.
So HTML, I always give the analogy, is basically the bones of your body. And CSS is the way you look, the t-shirt you wear, the jeans you have on, the shoes you have on. And when I say responsive, basically you can, with a CSS, you can take your jeans and fold them up and they'll look like shorts. And that's what responsive does. You just take what you have and change it to something else.
Well, now there's a visual for you, folks.
Right.
Think about that for a minute. We're going to take a break. We're talking with this very smart man, Hemal Patel, who is the proprietor with KB Studio here in Tallahassee. Is it a studio or studios?
Studio.
Studio.
Just one.
And in that case, has done rather well for himself and has served so many businesses around town. We're learning a lot about some of the newer standards for websites. And we're going to learn what KB is all about, what it stands for. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
A festival, a celebration, a feast, all in one word, Fiesta.
Tally Fiesta is coming September 13th on the Clayman Plaza in Tallahassee, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month with live music, salsa dancing, and fabulous authentic food, Fiesta style.
Tally Fiesta, helping to support the Hispanic community with scholarships and monetary support, presented by the Big Bend Minority Chamber of Commerce.
Saturday, September 13th from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the Clayman Plaza. Come celebrate Tally Fiesta.
Go with the pros at SS Performance Group. Today's engines demand the highest precision from highly skilled technicians able to get the most from your car and keep it in top performance. That's SS Performance Group, foreign and domestic. SS Performance Group is legendary among car owners who demand more.
I'm Ernest Sims. I know about going pro. For your car's best performance, go with the pros at SS Performance Group.
In their new location, 431 Capital Circle Southwest, call 575-0259. Online at SS Performance Group, LLC.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Hemal Patel. He is the owner of KB Studio, web design, web commerce, web marketing. What else? What else do you do with KB Studio?
So I'm a specialist in web design and internet marketing,
yeah.
But I can also do different things like logo design, print design, if you need a business card done.
Very cool.
But I'm a specialist in those two things.
How were you trained? And where did you get your training?
So I've been...
Or self-taught.
I'm self-taught.
Yeah.
I went to Florida State for finance and marketing. My third idea. Love is finance. And marketing really opened my eyes to a lot of the things that I could take from real world. And bring it onto the internet. So I really enjoyed finance and marketing at Florida State, but I'm self-taught since I was about 13.
Interesting. And isn't that an important point, that a lot of times the technologists among us can lose ground? They seem to get off into their own little techie geeky world.
Right.
And those ideas that really have traction, mm-hmm. We're going to be talking with Barbara Westcott later here in the show.
Right.
I mean, she's got a great idea, point mm-hmm. catcher, right? Mm-hmm. These are folks who, like yourself, come to the world of web application
right.
With an appreciation for how business really works in right. the real world. Huh?
Right.
So that informs you. That helps you.
That helps you, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And your background, your father had mm-hmm. that sort of background. He was with Boston Scientific, right?
Right. He was an employee there. But what I really got from him was the businessman.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a good businessman.
Administrator.
So I really learned that. Administrator. Yeah. Absolutely.
He was born in India.
Right.
Right. You came to America when you were how old?
5. So I was born in India also. I was 5 years old when we... came here with my immediate family, and we moved right to Boston.
Yeah.
Yes.
Grew up in the Northeast then, in the Boston area.
Yes. I moved to Florida when I was 15. I moved to Chipley, which is just an hour away.
From Boston
to Chipley.
To Chipley.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a stretch, huh? In right. a lot of ways.
Right.
Did you go through any kind of culture shock when you got to Chipley? I mean...
I actually loved it because when you're in Boston, my high school was maybe, 800 people.
Yeah.
And then Chipley is very small, so everyone is, family. If I go back, I could still remember everybody, and cool. I hope they remember me.
Yeah. Now that you're rich and famous, huh?
Rich and famous.
No?
Oh,
okay.
No, not just yet.
Not yet.
Okay. Yes.
Well, we'll help you with that. So tell us more then. With those things that you are engaged on a daily basis, most of the time,
right?
Business owners talking to you about what with their websites? What's the biggest concern they have?
Their biggest concern is really taking their investment, because a website, as a good web designer company, will charge at least 4 figures for a website. So their concern is, will this really pan out for me? Will this, will I really get customers from the internet to my website? Will they really become a buyer? Because for the most part in the past, I've seen, very nice looking websites, as we talked about earlier, but they don't convert the person into a buyer. And that big reason is because the designer did not make the website for the audience. They made it from what they thought was very nice. Mm-hmm. So when I have a client, the first question I ask is, who's your target audience? If they're, in their 50s, 60s, the design should reflect that. If they're in their teens, the design should reflect that.
So once again, you apply a sort of business point of view
right.
to the design of this website
right.
where function, we'll call it, and form have to find a common place.
Right.
And in some cases, that function gets overridden because you got a designer who thinks, oh, this is pretty,
mm-hmm.
but it's not doing the job, is
it? No.
Yeah.
And I love what I do, so I'm doing everything by myself. So I meet with the client and I will go over the details with them. We'll talk about what is your business like right now. And, as we spoke yesterday, I really like doing website redesigns. That's my favorite because a client has had a website for years online and we can actually go through the details and see, you know, you already have a website. What's the problem right now?
Yeah.
How can we fix it without having to create a website and then see what the problems
are? Right. And what are some of the answers there? Because again, the common ground is, man, you can go online and build your own website in 30 minutes, right? Or
Absolutely.
How about WordPress as a global community?
Right.
You can pull up, if you spend an hour
right.
inside of WordPress, you can do pretty nice work
right.
and not have to know HTML and PHP and
right.
all of the other language.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
You don't have to know how to script something.
You don't.
Because you got all these ready-made plugins that are sitting there
right.
that guys like you have created.
Right.
And sometimes they ask for a donation, but most of the time they're free.
Right.
So this doesn't help a guy like you who makes his living building such things out, or do you even work in WordPress yourself?
WordPress is my love. I almost make 100% of my websites in WordPress.
Really?
What I do is I take the actual WordPress platform and I skin it down. It's on my desktop. I take all the plugins and pre-made templates and everything on.
Yes.
I throw them away. When somebody asks me in 5 seconds, what do you do? I say I'm a tailor. Like, you can go to Walmart and go buy a suit, or you can come to a tailor and I can make a custom suit for you. I make a custom website for small businesses, and that's what I do. The biggest problem that I've seen, when going back to your previous question, is that there's no plan. A business will go online and throw up, let's say it's a restaurant, they'll throw up a menu and some promotions and expect customers to come. There's no plan involved in there, and that's where they fail.
Yeah.
So again, there's no design right away. It's all about, what is your plan? What is the business part of it first?
And that points to this business you mentioned earlier, converting
right.
the views
right.
and the clicks
right.
into real behavior, we'll
Absolutely.
Call it, as in sales,
right.
making the cash register ring.
Right.
So, and I have that same view of a lot of social media.
Right.
People, I got 1,000, I got 10,000 likes on my fan
matter.
Page. Well, the question is, how many of those folks have ever come back to your page once
right.
they liked it?
Right.
Secondly, of those who do, how is that translating into real growth for your business?
Absolutely. For Facebook, for the most part, if you see a local business with 700 fans, you could probably expect about 200 to 300 of those to be friends and family members in the first place who are just there to, support, but they're not going to be an absolute customer.
That's why I never pursued a career in acting
right.
or singing on stage, because, the 20 or so people that would applaud
right,
would
right.
be my mom and her family.
That's funny.
So you got to think in terms of this business of conversion. I've heard that talked about a lot. People
right.
hear about search engine optimization.
Right.
How do I get my website to show up on a Google search, at
right.
least in the top 3 or 4, above the fold, we say,
above
right?
Above the fold.
Right? But then the question is, but what about the CO, the conversion
mm-hmm.
optimization,
mm-hmm.
so that, when I get to that site, and it's a restaurant, I see the menu. What does Urban Spoon say about you?
Right.
Or what are these folks who, and what are that have been to your restaurant say about you? What about those special offers or couponing, or what other involvement do you have on the web, right?
Right. You have to be socially active. You have to be, one tip that I don't think a lot of small businesses know, is if you have your own website, and let's go back to the restaurant example.
Yeah.
You have to be I don't know the right word, but you have to be out there as far as Facebook, Urban Spoon, Foursquare. You have to put your business out there because on your own website, you could have these raving testimonials that you put yourself there. But if you're on Facebook and Urban Spoon and Foursquare, you allow the customer to review you and critique you in a positive or negative way, and Google likes that. Yeah. So if you, on your own website, you're linking back to your Facebook page, your Twitter, your Urban Spoon, your Foursquare page, and Google sees that, yeah, that you're allowing customers to critique you like that, yeah, they give you a little thumbs up for that.
I see. And that helps in terms of your ranking.
There's a lot of factors, page but ranking. That's a piece of the pie that will help you, definitely.
Okay.
Right.
We're going to get into that, too. We've got to talk of, gosh, man, we got so much to talk about here.
I'm excited. But,
in terms of how Google ranking affects the business, we'll call it web presence. How about that?
Right.
Web
okay.
presence, right? Okay. So how well you are presented on the web and through these various platforms and opportunities, including your own website. We're talking to Hemal Patel here. This is a fellow who you guys need to know. I'm glad to know him. KB Studio is the name of the business. Trying to get a grasp of where we are on the web these days and where we're going. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com.
Now we're talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Talking with Hemal Patel. KB Studio is the business. By the way, the KB stands for something called Kaizen Blitz.
Yes.
What the heck is Kaizen Blitz, man?
So we talked earlier that I went to school for finance and marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
Finance, you know, stocks and bonds and mutual funds and all that. I was already into that and I loved that. But marketing really opened my eyes. And in one of the classes, we talked about Kaizen. I won't go into the details of the history of it. You can Wikipedia it. But it's a process where you take something that's failing and you turn it around to make it profitable and successful. So that's what I do, and that's why I love doing website redesigns, because it's, the website could be failing, and I Kaizen it. I take it, and I turn it around and make it profitable, and Blitz means to just do it in a quicker process.
All right. And so the Kaizen idea applies not only in general to the business turning around, but specifically, in your case, to, we'll call it again, web presence, your
yes.
website.
Yes.
What are you doing with all of these things that are laid out in front of you to make your business more profitable? Huh?
Right.
And in that regard, if we are thinking about, and we talked about Simon Anderson and
yes.
his prognostications. I mean, that guy just scares me, you know, because like Simon will say, it's not 20 years away. It's happening right now.
Right. And the scary part when you last talked to him is it's true. It's just that we kind of we hide it for a little bit just so we can be comfortable with what's happening now.
I think denial is rampant on a lot of levels and with a lot of topics, and certainly the future of technologies that are affecting our economic base. I talked with one fellow the other day. He said, you know, and he works for fairly large oil company,
mm-hmm.
and he said we've realized for a long time that gasoline is not our future.
No, not at all.
You know, their money is in plastics.
Really?
Yeah. And he said that when Tesla got serious here a few years back,
right?
That was another even more significant contribution to that realization.
Right.
So you got oil companies that see the handwriting on the wall,
right.
and auto manufacturers. And you know, Tesla just the other day announced the opening of their massive photo, I guess it's a solar generating...
Photovoltaic.
Yeah.
Interesting thing, I'm not sure if you know, my office is right by Tallahassee Community College.
Yes.
The office is mainly run by a company called Independent Green Technologies.
We know about this
solar
guys.
Company.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of proud.
Rob Olin. Yeah, Rob's a
great friend.
Friend of mine, yeah.
The whole office is soldered out, so everything that I do is not wasting any electricity.
Yeah, so, Jim Murdaugh's no dummy.
He
figured that out.
Right, and I do their marketing for them. And I did a little blog post just yesterday, which you might not know about, is you know how solar panels are either blue or black?
Right.
They're, you know, you can't see through them well.
Right.
Somebody, the engineering team at Michigan State University just designed a solar panel that's see-through. So you can put it on your car, you can put it on your cell phone, and it's transparent.
Wow.
There's molecules on that will absorb the energy. And, you know, you turn it into power. So think about it. When you put it in a car, you no longer need gas anymore in the future.
That's amazing.
So,
folks, I hope you're paying attention here. And if you're like me, you're trying to take some notes. Hopefully we can come back to this further discussion.
Off topic.
The way in which internet technologies are affecting us, some of these other technologies that it themselves are, we'll say, products of or even spin-offs from how much the internet has changed. Not only the way we do communicate with each other or do business, but even the way we think.
Right.
Our expectations have changed, aren't
right.
we? And even in a web environment, it used to be you'd go to a website and, you know, you'd look around and you think, well, this is really cool. I mean, we're talking maybe even 5 years ago.
Right.
Now, I want to have those answers that I'm looking for inside
right
of two clicks.
Absolutely.
And if you can't figure that out for me, I'm gone. I'll find something else.
Absolutely. Perfect example. I'm going to India for a wedding in December. And think 10 years back.
Not your own.
Not my own.
Okay.
I'm already happily married
okay.
for almost
okay.
3 years.
All right. Just checking.
So think 10 years back and go to Google. I was trying to figure out how much of my dollars were converted into Indian rupees. All I did yesterday was write rupees to dollars, and there was a little chart that came up.
Yeah.
10 years ago on Google, it would not be so easy. You might find a link to a website.
Right, right.
Whereas now there's an actual form on Google that helps you do what you want.
Done.
As far as the internet, you know, evolving, it's evolving rapidly these days. One of the jobs that I have to do is make sure that every page that I make for a website loads within 2 seconds. Because these days people are very, if your website doesn't load quick, people are impatient. And if the answers are not right there, then they're going to leave. And that makes, you know, that's something that we as a designer developer have to fix for the small business.
I really think that's why people have become so impatient with one another in traffic.
I think so too. I think we're evolving to be impatient with one another. We need to just slow down and, you know, relax.
I got an email last night or yesterday from a very good friend, and he had sent this out to a number of his friends, in which he described his determination, his decision to withdraw from a lot of activities and boards and committees and really focus on stuff that's more important.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we talked about. I think everyone should relax. And there's too much tension these days, even over small things. Road rage, if you're driving, is even
it's ridiculous.
Worse. It's ridiculous.
In a small town like Tallahassee?
In a small town like Tallahassee.
Wow.
Some of the accidents that I see
it's
on
ridiculous.
The road, I get surprised. I said, how did this actually happen?
Impatience. Yeah.
Yes.
Folks, you're getting a bit of web understanding. You're getting some very helpful hints on how to maintain your website and stay abreast of those changes. And at no extra charge, a bit of philosophical advice from the very able Hemal Patel, who's our guest this morning. KB Studio is the name of the company. Hemal, you know, we talked about Simon Anderson, and I know that you have a handle on that as well. You seem to have a grasp of concern for the future.
Yes.
Where do you think we are going? Well, I guess that's a stupid question, but when you look at all those things that you see happening, I mean, you mentioned green technologies and, mm-hmm. And solar energy and electric cars.
Right.
Where do you think we're headed?
I think all this bulk that we've been used to, like desktops and big keyboards and all these kind of things, chargers, for example, are going to be smaller and smaller and smaller until to the point where they're no longer needed. Mm. You have a charger right here that's charging your laptop. Mm. It will become smaller and smaller to the point where in the future the charger will be solar powered on your laptop. Mm. Things like that. Everything will become wireless. But to give you an example, some of these things even I don't know about or I don't pay attention to because of me focusing on my field, mm-hmm. I'll have a coffee session with Simon and I'll ask him the questions and see what he thinks.
Yeah, and that's always a dangerous thing to do. Yeah. Folks, I hope you've enjoyed the conversation here. I certainly have. Hemal Patel with KB Studio, our guest this morning. Thank you, sir, for being a part of it.
Thank you very much.
We enjoyed it. We'll have you back. We got to keep this conversation going. Folks, we're coming up to the top of the hour. ABC News is up ahead, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks, brought to you at this hour by the very good folks over there at Tommy T's in Midtown on Thomasville Road. Tommy T's, Mighty Lube, one of the sponsors here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
July 9, 1755, near Fort Duquesne, now the city of Pittsburgh, a 23-year-old British officer leads his troops in battle during the French and Indian War. Though fired upon repeatedly, this young lieutenant colonel remains unharmed to the disbelief of the native warriors. 15 years later, a respected Indian chief sat over a council fire with this same man. As he told all those listening, the Great Spirit protects this man and guides his destiny. He will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the founder of a mighty empire. The man was George Washington, who went on to become the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army and the first president of the United States. This inspiring message of freedom, brought to you by Southern Smiles Family Dentistry, providing comprehensive dental care. Call 875-3908.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning in the fine month of September. Glad you're with us. FSU has a bye week. Just time enough, hopefully, for those defensive linemen to heal up. Did you hear about all that? The guy who was playing for Citadel, and the Citadel player had been bragging prior to and I guess after the game as to their determination to. But that doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do, and certainly not necessarily the right thing to do when it's a matter of trying to make a big deal of that. And the kid got tagged for doing so. He was posting on a couple of blogs, I guess. Anyway, so here we are in this Saturday looking at technologies and the manner in which information is transmitted via the internet. And there's a very good example. I can assure you that within a matter of nanoseconds after that guy posted those remarks, there was no going back. It illustrates in a sort of maybe a silly way on my behalf, the manner in which internet and web, if you want to call it, let's just say the internet has changed the way things happen for us and how quickly we react. How about all the Rice controversy and, people having to backpedal on things they said or tweeted. And all of that happens so quickly. It has, I think, affected us as a population in as much as we all tend to shoot from the hip. If you heard our guest in the first hour, Hemal Patel, we talked about that and how it has made us a bit more impatient with one another, and no better place to see that happen, I guess, or more clearly would be the way to put that, than in daily traffic around this town. Come on, where people are honking at you because you haven't jumped into the intersection when the light turns green. Really? When did that become acceptable behavior? And dear Lord, how is it that you think that the world revolves around you? I mean, newsflash, you are not the most important person. Contrary to your belief, we are not all oriented around your life. So for your own sake, for your own health, you got to relax a little bit, chill out, and realize that there's nothing that urgent, unless your dog is laying next to you in the passenger seat dying, that demands that you have that little consideration. I got an email from a friend earlier in the week who asserted just that. He said, you know, he was in traffic and he found himself feeling a bit impatient because the driver in front of him said, you know what, I'm going to stop here. Not because there was a crosswalk, not because there was an intersection or a stop sign or a red light, but because in the view of this driver, there were some people who were trying to cross the road. And yeah, they were, quote, breaking the rules. And so was this guy. I mean, he stopped. And my friend is behind him thinking, what is he doing? And then realizes, well, he's going to take some time and let these people cross the road. And your reaction might be, yeah, well, he was out of line. Those people should go find a crosswalk somewhere. Okay. All right. But the fact is that my friend's reaction and his impatience with that alerted him to something. And he made a colossal decision. He said, I am way too plugged in to too many things that are not that important. And so he issued a sort of group email among his closest associates and friends and said, you know what? I love you, but I'm out. I'm not doing the committees and the boards and the projects and, you know, this meeting and that. I'm just not. I'm going to do the best to take care of my family, attend to them first and foremost, and my job, my career, and everything else after that is going to have to take a second fiddle or whatever, have to take it as it comes. And, you know, he was quick to say, that doesn't mean you can't buy me lunch, which that was appropriate. But it illustrates the kind of decision we have to make when we are being confronted on a continuing basis. And let's consider that for a moment, how much the web has changed and how much it is changing at the pace that it is. In the last 10 years, we've seen the internet go from, remember when chat rooms were really the cool thing and they went away, right? You don't do chat rooms anymore. You go to Facebook. Or how about AOL Instant Messenger? That's gone. The web browsers themselves have evolved. It used to be Internet Explorer, and now you've got everything from Chrome to Mozilla, all kinds of web browsers out there. How about the old social networks that have disappeared? MySpace? What the heck is MySpace? I mean, I think it actually is still around, but it's pretty much been relegated to musicians and folks like that, entertainers. I think one of the most interesting parts of that is the fact that the explosion of internet usage in 2002, we had 569 million users. How much this usage has exploded, that translated into about 9% of the world's population. In 2012, that number has gone to over 2 billion. It's now estimated at 2.27 billion users in 10 years. That's a 33% increase across the globe. Well, imagine that. Let's put that in perspective. 33% increase. That would be like, let's see, 33% of the United States population. Right now, just over, what, 300 million, about 330 million people in the U.S. Well, 33% of that would be about 104, maybe 105 million people. That's the entire population of Mexico or the Philippines. So that's how many people have now embraced the use of internet activity, the web. And with that kind of embrace, information being not only transmitted at light speed, but decisions being made based upon that kind of accessibility. And I referenced earlier the Ray Rice debacle. I mean, decisions were made and announced before all of the evidence, before all of the information became available, apparently, to everybody involved. What other kind of hasty decisions do we make when stories are being reported in that fashion? And the bureaus, the news bureaus, there are no filters anymore. Everything is accessible on a 24-hour basis. Folks, it requires that you and I take the time and step back a bit and evaluate and look for those sources that are credible to help us make better decisions. By the way, one of those is a publication that I favor. It's called Thursday Review. And if you've not checked it out, you owe it to yourself. Thursday Review is online. A great little publication. Alan Clanton and his crew do that. Folks, stay with me. I've got Barbara Westcott coming up here in the hour, and we're going to learn all about her Point Catcher program. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
For over 40 years, Marvin McFate has been building houses and helping families build their dreams. He's helped Tallahassee grow too by building a company based on three simple ideas: dedication, tradition, and innovation. It's a company dedicated to building homes that'll last for generations with time-tested methods and a clear understanding of how to make homes more efficient with modern innovations. Today, Vanguard North stands as a symbol of the best in home building and home renovation. So, here's to you, Tallahassee, and all the families that Vanguard North has had the privilege to serve. Thanks for letting them share in your dreams. You keep on growing, and they'll be here to help you do it with homes you love to live in today and for all your tomorrows. Vanguard North, home builders and renovators, on the web at VanguardNorth.com. Marvin McFate, he's a bit of a dreamer. He's okay with that.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Here we are in the second hour of this year fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, on a Saturday morning, Freedom 93, our home station in Tallahassee. Wherever you might be listening across the globe, streaming live to the web, courtesy of our good friends over there at Freedom 93. We're glad you're with us. We've got in studio a woman who apparently had nothing better to do with her time and had gotten really bored with everything else she was doing. And so she decided to create some kind of a mobile web mobile application that she calls Point Catcher. And we're going to find out what Point Catcher is all about and why in the world someone would do something like this. So let's welcome Barbara Westcott to the show. How are you, Barbara?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for being our guest. And we're going to find out in this next portion of the show what this Point Catcher Rewards Network does. I've got a little flyer here in my hand. This is for customers who will spend, earn, and save. It's for business owners who want to reward their customers so that they'll keep coming back.
That's right.
So this is a retention tool, we'd say.
Absolutely.
In marketing terms, right?
Right. If you think of your own spending patterns, like they probably change. It used to be that you used cash and check, but now you probably do everything with credit
card. 100
years ago, yeah. And so why do you put everything on your credit card?
Yeah.
Usually it's because you want to get the points with your credit card program.
That, and I have no cash. So
well, you don't need to have cash anymore. You use your credit card.
Right.
And why not? You get the points. And a lot of companies, every time you turn around, you see more and more companies have reward point programs.
Right.
And people love the credit card programs, but all those other companies that have all those point programs, you have to manage them all separately.
I see.
And there was no standardization guiding how all these programs would develop. So each company developed their own program. But they all have different point values, different redemption methods. You manage them separately.
Yeah.
So it's sort of cumbersome. And that sort of got me down this train of thought of, making a more comprehensive system, you know, that provides that benefit to businesses. Because there's reasons businesses have these programs. It's because, you know, it keeps their customers.
They work.
They work, and they keep the customer
And they are
back.
The rage.
Yeah, and they are the rage.
Among us here marketing kind of folks, and we have a number of clients that rely on us for advertising and marketing solutions, we know that reward programs work. So here you've got a web-based solution.
Right.
That cuts through a lot of that clutter, makes things easier?
Cuts through the clutter, makes it easier, but also does something else. You know, for small businesses, you know, which are just, you know, the foundation of, you know, our business community.
Indeed.
It's much harder for a small business. Like, if you look at reward point programs, you'll notice that they're mostly in corporate businesses.
Right.
Because you know,
they put out the big bucks.
Well, they have the big bucks, but they usually have multiple stores, and you can disperse those costs.
Yeah.
You know, it's just much easier for a larger business to develop something like that.
Right.
But for the small business.
Standalone.
Right. You know, to build your own point system could easily cost, like, a comprehensive system.
It's very expensive.
Very, very expensive.
We've looked at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, big money. So with us, a business can just sign up with us, and within just a matter of minutes, they can have a comprehensive points program.
That's awesome.
But we're doing it more in a network model.
I see.
Because we're not just a points program, we're a network. So you can connect, like a business can join, use our points program, and then just invite their customers to follow them on Point Catcher.
Sweet.
And then they can issue points to those customers. But our model also works with business to business, which B2B, you know, business to business enterprises make up the largest sector of the marketplace. It's like 90% of commerce is B2B. So our system also works in that marketplace. So when a business signs up there, you know, for our points program, they can not only issue points to their customers and keep the customers engaged, but a business can also set up point relationships with their vendors. And that business can earn points that offset their business costs.
That is very cool.
Yeah. Because, like, in our system, points, they're equated, they're valued just like money. So the points you earn, just spend back at the business that issued them to you.
Okay. I think I got No, you're fine. Keep talking. I'm just very slow, and it's difficult for me to follow you because English is my first language, but I have a very limited vocabulary, so it's so I'm kidding around here, but in fact, Point Catcher then is this very robust solution, right? Has all kinds of moving parts and features and aspects, but you've made it very simple.
We've made it very simple
for a business to participate is the idea, and for customers.
Absolutely, a business just signs up, they set a reward rate. 1%, 2%, it's just a percent of the sale that will accrue as points. So whatever rate they set, the customers follow their program, and those customers earn based on their reward rate.
Huh.
And the points that they earn, again, valued just like money, can be spent back with that business. So that business, a business doesn't issue points and you use them at another business. The points a business issues are only redeemable back at that business.
That's a key feature.
Yeah, well, because a business doesn't want to... another business doesn't want to take in someone else's points and have to reduce the cost of the merchandise.
Because,
like, in some of the points programs you see, you earn something, but you don't quite know what you earn. You might earn a cup of coffee, or you might earn a Danish. But in this system, you just earn
among those businesses that I like.
Yeah.
And where I'm a customer.
That's just going to save you money. So we say it's a win-win because the business gets more business and the customer saves money.
Now, if we're the place where I get my auto service, right, oil change, whatever, if they're not part of the Point Catcher system, can I
ask
benefit?
They
have to join.
They have to join, but you can ask them. You don't have to be a passive bystander as a customer. You can reach out to the businesses you utilize, and you could say, hey, join me on Point Catcher. You know, get that business to just join, and then you can start earning
points. And what does that take from them? What does that require of them to join the business?
So quick. They just go on our website, sign up. They have to fill in a little bit of information about themselves, but maybe it's going to take them 15 minutes to sign up for Point
Kitchen. Is there any cost to the business?
There is. It starts out at nine. It's very affordable. It starts out at $9 a month, and it goes up incrementally based on how big you want to grow your program.
I see.
But we have right now, we're doing it, we're going to be starting our beta launch because we'll be launching in about a month.
Okay.
And during the beta launch period, it's going to be free. And then, but for all businesses, they all get their first month free to just try it out. And, you know, start growing their program.
Folks, we're talking with Barbara Westcott. We're learning all about Point Catcher. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And I'm going to do my very best to try to figure all this out as we go along because, as you know, I'm challenged in these ways. However, I'm so glad you've joined us and encourage you to stay with us right after this.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray illumination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tin it. Truck and Car Concepts, 656-8800. Give us a call.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are talking with Barbara Westcott. She is the creator and proprietor of Point Catcher Rewards Network. In keeping with today's theme, talking about web development, web commerce, web marketing, and the kinds of solutions that are now available to us. Here comes Point Catcher, courtesy of Barbara Westcott, who had an idea. When did this all start for you?
You know, I was volunteering for an organization, and I thought, gee, wouldn't it be great if there were ways, you know, there wasn't necessarily money available, but what if it would be good if there were ways to incentivize people. And, you know, kind of just the more I worked on that and started looking into the points industry, you know, like with any good business, it's like you're solving a problem.
Right, right, right.
And the more you look at the reward point space, you know, it's like a $60 billion industry, but it's a very disjointed one and cumbersome. You know, it just shouldn't be that hard, you know, to manage
indeed
a program. So
have you been to your doctor lately? You know, where you go in and it's 2014 and you're filling out a piece of paper that they have to take and then enter those data. Why? What is wrong with that model? And now, you know.
Yeah, I just thought this could work way better.
You're pointing to that and saying, yeah, we can make this work better.
I can do this better, yeah.
And again, how long ago was that?
This is a couple years ago. Like, I've applied for patent pending, so it was a few years ago I applied for patent.
Where did you first go? You had this idea. Kind of what was your first step in talking with folks about it, in getting real about it?
Well, you know, I knew it was a big idea, and I knew that I needed help. And one of the things that's great about Tallahassee, and this has been evolving, when I first started out, there were some things available, like the Small Business Development Council, the Economic Development Council, the Chamber. So those are the first people that I went to. And in fact, one of the first classes I took was Larry Lynch's program,
right.
And it's called the Entrepreneurial Excellence Program.
Right, right.
So
great program.
I knew it was a big idea. I knew I needed help, but I knew I needed to learn more. There was a lot I didn't know. But the community of Tallahassee has really gained a lot of momentum for startups. The formation of Domi Station is huge. And then there was also just through Career Source Development, their Startup Quest. I also did that program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all these things that give you training, you know, to help you, you know, get the knowledge, but also get the connections from people in the community. Mm-hmm. And those have helped, you know, especially Dolmy Station. Because I'm housed there. That's where I'm housed out of, is at Dolmy Station.
You're, from my understanding, you are the first to have signed up over there.
I don't know if I'm the first, but...
That's what I was told.
Okay.
On good authority.
On good authority,
I'm going to check with Micah about that, and we'll find out for sure. But I believe you were the first tenant, I guess, or member of...
Well, I couldn't be more grateful to Dolmy Station.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a great concept.
It's a great concept, and it works. Yeah. And I've seen it not only with my team, but there's other teams. There's Student Opportunity Center, Proper Channel, Technology Grows. There's all these other teams. And I think you've spoken with Ryan Kopinski before.
Yes.
There's a lot of people there doing great work. And when you can just get everybody together and get the resources there, the mentoring, you know, some great things can happen. And I think they're helping me, you know, on aspects where I could use some improvement. They're working with me and helping me and make sure I, you know, get launched properly.
Well, it certainly flies in the face of what I would refer to as a sort of plantation way of approaching life, in that if I'm the plantation owner and you work for me on the plantation, everything that you do is mine. Whereas in a shared collaborative space like Dolmy Station, everything you do is yours, but yet you have the benefit of working within that collective environment. So things work much more, let's say, much quicker, much more informed.
Yeah, well, you know, we're a lot of communities, like, you know, in Nashville and Austin and Dallas, you know, there's, they have incubators, you know, and that's something we didn't have in Tallahassee. And we have this amazing amount of talent here from the university systems and from state government. We have all this talent here, but Tallahassee loses a lot of the young people after they get out of college. But if we can create more opportunity here and those students stay and we utilize that talent, it can only help our community grow jobs here, keep people here.
And
it's all part of that.
Did you have any ties with JMI, Jim Moran Institute, at one point, or did they help you in some fashion?
Not so much, because remember, I'm not, you know, I at Dolmy Station, there's a lot of people from the university system. I would be the example of someone from the community.
Coming outside and coming in,
But a lot has changed. Like, it used to be the technology has made it. Like, this really is a big idea. Once you understand what I'm trying to do and all that it involves, it's a big idea. And years ago, that would have been impossible to do. But the way technology is, like, we're using APIs. I don't know if you know what those are.
Three letters in the alphabet. I know that. API. I do know what API is.
So like these.
Tell us what it is. Just because I want to see if you know.
Well, it's a little, it's one of those things that's a little hard to explain, but like it's a bridge. Like one of the services that we're using is through Intuit that allows it so that the way Point Catcher works is customers just link their cards to Intuit, and then Intuit through this API provides us wherever you spent money, and we match that with the businesses that are Point Catcher member businesses and calculate that based on the reward rate. That's how you earn your points. So I don't have to go out and create a whole secure banking system. You know, that's that API, that's something that I'm able to connect to Intuit and have them provide that to us securely.
I've heard it said in my humble approach to the question of API, that it is the bridge. So if you're a developer, for example, and you want to develop an app that's going to work inside of the Facebook environment, and you have to know what that API is. It basically, API is a set of rules that guide you as you go forward and then help you form that bridge. And in your case, with this Intuit network you're talking about, right?
Yeah, like they've already created this whole thing, and we just plug into
plug something in.
But things like that are becoming, you know, more easily available and more cost effective. You know, or I don't have to go out and buy all my own servers. I can do that through Amazon Web Services. And things, you know, other different things that we're using. So we can take this idea, but then we can also bring in technologies that are already existing that are affordable and are available.
Well, and as far as a new economy goes, do you think that's contributive? In other words, the very fact that you didn't have all this capital outlay, you didn't have to go out and reinvent the wheel. You were able to take your idea and then plug into all of these services.
I was able to plug into it. Because in the past, I think you would have had to be almost like a big corporation with a lot of money. But now, someone from the community, you know, I've had a business before, but, you know, I'm just a single person, you know, that has an idea. But there's enough things in place in society now and in technology.
You know where to go.
If you can put these pieces together, you can do some big things.
And you're saying that Domi Station has helped in that regard because you're presented with people who themselves are plugged in.
Oh, absolutely.
To lots of other solutions, yeah.
But also, you've spoken with Simon Anderson before.
Yes. In fact, you know, he's one of our contributors.
Right. He's a business and technology consultant.
Scares me. He's a very scary person.
He's not scary. He is.
Yes, he is. He's a very frightening man. I can't talk with Simon for a long length of time because I get worried that the world is going to fall off. It's Axis or something. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, he's a brilliant guy. And for anybody, you know, whether in your business or having a startup, you know, to get the expertise from someone, you know, that can, has done a lot of research. And he's the one that's connected me to different services, you know, or that I found on or whatever. But he's been a big help with that. But absolutely, Domi Station.
That's an interesting question. Who are some of those other folks that you have looked to? We're going to find out more about that, folks, when we come back from the break. We're talking with Barbara Westcott, this young lady.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you have just joined us, we are so glad you're here. You're a little late, but that's okay, because all of the shows that we broadcast are archived on our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. Have you not been there lately? Well, my goodness, we have all kinds of cool stuff. You can even buy, listen, the Osceola Championship Edition from 2013. I mean, how often is this going to happen, folks? The Heisman Trophy winner playing for an undefeated team, winning the national championship, and the Osceola has this marvelous portfolio, this photo folio of the entire season with articles from people like Jim Henry and our very own Tim Linnefelt. Man, you got to get a copy of this. We'll save you about $5 off the cover price. Go to TallahasseeTalks.com, and you'll see up there on the website Osceola. It's in our little web store there, and you can order right online, and we'll send it to you. And I think the shipping is a couple of bucks. But if you order a quantity of them, they don't even charge you for the shipping. So how about that? And this is the kind of thing you want to put in a Ziploc bag and stick in your closet because it'll be a collector's item. In fact, it already is. There was a limited quantity of them they actually published. And the Osceola is not in print now. It's an online publication, keeping in line with our conversation here with Barbara Westcott and talking about all things web and web solutions and her little project. Thank you very much, called Point Catcher, which I guess, very simply put, has taken the whole business of a rewards program that we're all now familiar with. When you get, you know, you use your Visa or your MasterCard or credit card and you get points, right? But what Barbara discovered was that for a small business that might be a standalone, it was kind of clunky, and for them to be able to develop their own rewards system, to have that kind of facility because of the cost involved. So she went about the business of creating this solution that is very accessible, very affordable for both businesses. And for the customer who uses this, is there a cost to them?
No, for customers, it's free.
Yeah, so the business is paying out what amounts to some marketing costs. The increase in revenues off of the sales they generate offsets whatever costs they're involved there with Point Catcher. Well, you said it starts at $9 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying more for bathroom supplies than $9 a month. So why not? Makes a lot of sense to me. But we got into talking then about how Tallahassee, and maybe this, would you agree with this idea that Tallahassee has, for its part, become more and more recognized as that place where people can have a startup idea.
Absolutely.
And do well, huh?
For sure.
That's becoming part of our signature, you think,
on a national scale? I think so, and I think it happened because a lot of people worked. hard. To make it happen. Yeah. I went to the early meetings. Christian Dozier had these stakeholder meetings, you know, trying to get from the community, you know, what can be done? How can we make this happen? And that's kind of how Domi Station came together.
That's a very
But it started with Leon County just working on it. And a lot of people from, you know, like from the Chamber and the EDC, all these groups coming together.
I remember, I guess about 2 years ago, JT Burnett was on the show at the time. And you know JT for his work locally as an entrepreneur, business owner, developer, and so forth, has done a number of different things, including the Duval Hotel and restoring that thing and then turning it around and selling it. And now he's involved with the DoubleTree. He's probably going to do the same thing again. But he was on the show, and he said, for Tallahassee, we haven't yet found our spot on the wall. We don't really know who we are yet. And now, okay, we're a championship football team. Yeah, we got that. You know, we're the state capital. Okay. And we have, you know, some significant universities here, Florida State and FAMU and TCC. But if you took that aside, what's left? And so his concern was, we need to do that business of finding out who we are. And so the whole Imagine effort was made with Kim Rivers and all. Has that part of your development?
Yeah, I mean, I just think all these things are helping. And I see, you know, because now I work with a lot of young people at the incubator. And there are a lot of young people from the university that, you know, we're going to, you know, finish their schooling and leave Tallahassee. And I just hear it over and over again now that they're choosing to stay. So I think a lot of things that we're doing now are creating a lot of opportunity, but it's having a lot of people take a second look here at Tallahassee about staying. And I'm sure that has a ripple effect, you know, not just for our community, but for other businesses or organizations that, you know, might rethink about relocating to Tallahassee.
Indeed. Well, and so even our current governor has done some of that effort in trying to reach out to corporations and say, hey, Tallahassee is a good place to be. You think that the grassroots effort is even more significant in as much as people are saying, hey, I've got all kinds of resources here.
I do because I've watched it happen.
Yeah.
You know, like you can never underestimate the value of just starting something, you know, just presenting the idea and doing it. I mean, this started out as like a little seed, but everybody came together.
Yeah, yeah.
So the community wanted this to happen, and they made it happen.
Who are some of those people? You mentioned Simon Anderson that helped you out, and of course, Mike over there at Domi. Who are some of the other folks that have been part of your development?
Well, I would say the Chamber of Commerce in Tallahassee, you know, the ones I already mentioned, the Chamber of Commerce in Tallahassee, the Small Business Development Council, the Economic Development Council, you know, with Larry Lynch and the EDC. You know, but when they had those stakeholder meetings, you know, trying to grow Domi Station, when Domi Ventures came on board.
Yeah.
That just, you know, what Micah Wyden has been able to accomplish at Domi, to me, is just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because that was just an empty little warehouse building. And if you go by there now, it's just a vibrant startup community.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that marriage of those two groups, you know, Leon County
Very
and
cool.
Domi Ventures. It.
You know, Hemal Patel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on with us in the first hour of the show today and talked about Rob Olin and his work with Green Technologies.
Oh, yeah.
And how Jim Murdaugh and our good buddy Bob Ballard, who runs the Wakulla environmental program down there for TCC, well, they all kind of got together. And Jim reached out to Rob and said, you know what? If you could put solar panels on the roof of this building, we'll work with you in providing you space. Well, they did that. And it's working rather nicely. So it's another example of where these standing established institutions have reached out to folks like you and said, hey, you've got an idea. We want to incorporate that idea.